Do you know? Start.
Start?
Yeah. Okay, we start.
Okay.
We'll start with the chant. So my name is Ajahn Khemawaro. I was trained at Bodhinyana Monastery for about 7 years. And then since then I've moved to Sydney to be the senior monk at a monastery north of Sydney. What, Buddhadhamma? Yeah. And we trained together at in Perth. Yeah. So I thought I'd come and check out my friend, see how he's doing. Yeah, new place. Yeah, no, it's great facilities. This is not too far from the city. And yeah, it's a nice room.
Too far.
And yeah, so it's good to see a lot of people here, interested in learning meditation, cultivating peace and stillness. Yeah, so express my joy and happiness in seeing everybody here tonight. So we'll start off with a bit of chanting, and then a bit of talk and meditation, guided meditation, and a Q&A. Huh? As usual.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So I think you've probably heard different talks about what is meditation, but it's always a good idea just to kind of reflect on it. And for me anyway, you know, meditation is many things to many different people, but it's basically mental health. We know a lot about physical health. You know, you want to have a healthy body, you have to exercise it, go to the gym, do yoga, you know, keep you moving, keep you in shape. You sit around, watch TV, play your computer, muscles don't get toned by themselves, right? It doesn't naturally make you stronger. It's the same with the mind. So you want to have a strong, healthy mind, which is a clear mind that's full of energy and happiness. You have to train it. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, we have a tired mind. We think it's our fault that is dark and sad or depressed. But it isn't. It's just that we need to get in shape, really. Yeah. So it's just, you know, a mental kind of training. A bit of something, a consistent regime, a practice of practicing meditation. And it doesn't have to be very long. It doesn't matter what religious affiliation you are. It's just like yoga. It's just a bit of mental stretching, mental clarifying, and just stilling the mind. Yeah. So in order to have a healthy mind, you have to train it, little by little. And you'll see, you know, like, you know, sometimes you watch those Olympians, skaters, or weightlifter, and they can do amazing things with the body. You think, wow, that's so impossible. But it can be done. If you train yourself gradually, in many, many years, lots of dedication. It's the same with the mind. With the trained mind, it does amazing things. Things that you can't be, think is possible. It can lift your mood. You feel this amazing sense of well-being inside. You don't need any external helps, external kind of props to make you feel good. You're naturally happy, naturally content, and you're free. Yeah. The mental disturbances that kind of plague the mind from time to time, it's not a problem because your mind is healthy, mind is bright, and it's clear. Yeah, but it does take training, something that you have to work at. Yeah, it doesn't come naturally. Or anything that comes naturally, it's, you know, feeling of irritation, feeling anger, feeling greed, feeling confused, feeling kind of sad. Those come naturally because we come into contact with things that disturb us and that we don't like from time to time. But when we train the mind, and when it's a bit more stronger and healthier, we can come into contact these things, and they don't bother us as much. Yeah. But it does take a bit of discipline. It does take work. But it's not something beyond any of us. It's the same when you go to the gym. Like, oh, it's so hard. I don't think I can do this. But then you go weeks after weeks. Yeah, it's getting easier and easier. You can stretch more, you can lift more, you can, you know, do more things as you become more fit. So it's the same with the mind. Yeah. So it's just a bit of mental training, a bit of focus. But the difference between physical health and mental health is that to have a healthy body, you have to move it, stretch it, put pressure on it. But to have a healthy mind, you have to allow it to be still. So you have to find ways to focus on it, the present moment, and allow the chatter and the things to fall away, not to move the mind. And that's why sometimes you read in the newspaper, the press, that was the mental disease, mental issues arising, because we live in a very fast-paced world. But the digital devices, you know, we're constantly thinking, moving, analyzing, comparing ourselves. And that gets tiring to the mind. And we don't know, you know, we haven't focused on resting the mind. We haven't focused on allowing it to be still. Just get some quiet time. And that's all you need sometimes. And then you go to a monastery, a meditation center, and it's just kind of, you know, you disengage yourself from the day-to-day, you know, kind of information, a flood of information. You find that, yeah, only after a few days, you feel better. Mind becomes more clear. Yeah, a lot of times that's all you need. A bit of stillness, a bit of clarity. And then the energy comes back again. You're feeling happier, more joyful, more at ease. Yeah. So it's something that we all can do. We have the potential to train our mind. Yeah, something that's not beyond us. Yeah, so that's kind of, and that's why you can see that there's lots and lots of demand for mindfulness meditation in the future. 30 years ago, there's hardly any yoga kind of studio anywhere. Thank God, it's these kind of weird things that people are doing. But now you see the gym and, you know, yoga studio everywhere because it's, you know, something people find lots of benefits. So will they find meditation kind of lots of just little rooms people to go and just to sit quietly, listen to kind of calming music, bit of space, bit of stillness in the middle of the day or something, just to stay away from, you know, kind of be disengage yourself from the digital devices or from the moving world that we have to engage in. Yeah, so that's all meditation is. It's not, some people think it's kind of some mystical thing or some spiritual thing that only monks and nuns can do. No, it's something that each and every one of us can cultivate, can train the mind to become a bit more still, a bit more clear. Yeah. So meditation is about focusing on one thing. We multitask, we do lots of things, and that's tiring to the mind. So meditation, you come back doing, you know, one thing at a time. Tonight, I'm going to encourage people to focus on the physical sensations of the body. Yeah, tuning yourself, because a lot of time we're just in the head, thinking, wondering about the past, future, organizing things, comparing ourselves, analyzing all sorts of different things, reaching to the future about what may happen, what may not happen, climate changes, everything's going to burn up, we won't be around anyway. All sorts of scenarios are placed in the mind. It can be quite tiring. Yeah. So tonight, just bring it back to the present moment. Bring it back to the body. How are you feeling first? Because sometimes our disconnection to the body also brings, you know, different issues, like health issues. And then we can be quite tense, quite stressed, and we're not paying attention. And over time, it starts to create, you know, more dis-ease in the body. So by focusing the body and by relaxing the different muscles that you're aware of, you're doing two things. One is you're not thinking about obsessing with different issues that's happening in your life. You're leaving it there. And two, by relaxing the body, you'll find that the body and the mind are related. The body is more relaxed. The mind calms down as well. Yeah, so the few minutes that we're focusing on the physical sensation of the body, mind can only do one thing. So if you focus on the body, you're not thinking, not worrying. So it allows the mind to relax, to regain some energy. Yeah, and then the other effect is that once you calm the body, it feels really good. It's like getting a massage, really, for half an hour. So you get both things, okay? So that's kind of basic principles to meditation, focusing on one thing, something that's happening in the present moment. You know, focus on the body, the physical sensation of the body. That only happens in the present moment. You don't know how the body feels yesterday. That's already gone. You don't know what it's going to feel like in the future. That hasn't happened yet. Yeah. And if the mind veers up to something, you know, oh yeah, I'm not feeling the body. So just back. Just go back to the body. No need to worry. Yeah. So it's kind of a gentle process of just, you know, back to the present moment. Back to the body. Learning to relax different muscles, focus on the posture that you're occupying. What's it feel like to be here and now? So much of our life is in the past or the future. But that's all uncertain. Past is gone. You can't get that back. You can't change it. Future may or may not come. And usually it doesn't happen the way we anticipate anyway. Yeah. So all life happens and can only happen in the present moment. Yeah. So any, all the happiness that you want, all the respect, the love, the connection, that only happens in the present moment. If you're not here, you're not here to receive any of that. Yeah. So everything is already here. We just have to stay here long enough for it to come and to enjoy it, to feel it. Yeah. Any kind of meaningful connection happens in the present moment. And our job is just to be here, to open, to receive it. For that, we need to have mindfulness. We need to have clarity what's happening. Yeah. Okay, so any questions? Today I'm just going to lead you to a simple body awareness, where you sweep your focus, your awareness from the top of your head down to the floor. Soothing, relaxing, different parts of your body, different muscles, as you move downward. So anyways, I will spend the next few minutes setting yourself up in a posture that is a balance between being comfortable, but also something that fosters, encourages wakefulness, awareness. Bring your attention to your spinal cord. Like I said, you know, definitely use the chair, use it on the floor. Any posture that allows you to hold it, to be in that posture for the next 25 or 30 minutes. Without putting too much strain on your lower back, or your knee, or your leg. And you close your eyes, and you bring your awareness into the body. Just all the different sensations that you can feel just sitting here. On the chair, on the ground. How does it feel like to be in this body of yours? If you're energetic, if you're tired. Make any final adjustments regarding your posture of leaning forward or backward, left or right. Just allow the body to be as comfortable as you can, but also knowing it won't be perfect. So it's a bit itchy, a bit slight tension somewhere, but that's okay. So you bring your awareness just to the top of your head. Moving down towards your forehead, your temple area. Any physical sensations you can feel around those areas at the moment. Downward towards your nose, your jaw muscles, sensations around your lip, down to your chin. Soothing and relaxing any tight or tense areas you can. That you're aware of. into your throat and your chest, your abdomen, your stomach area. Soothing, relaxing, and releasing any tight or tense areas along the front of your torso. Just to feel the contact point between the skin on your chest. Just rubbing against the shirt. Just to notice, what does that feel like? Or the feeling of warmth along the different areas of the body. Just any physical sensations that you're aware of along the front of your torso. To your shoulders and your arms. First, start with the left arm. Moving down the muscles, down to your elbow, your wrist, all the way to the tip of your fingers and your left hand. What's all the different sensations you're aware of? Up and down your left arm. Give it a slight throbbing of the muscles or a tingling sensations on the tip of your fingers. Anything that's happening in the here and the now. To your right arm. Start with the shoulders. Down to your biceps. Your forearm. All the way down to the tip of your right hand. If at any time during the meditation you find that your mind drifts away to thoughts of what happened early in the day, thoughts of what happens, you know, be later tonight or tomorrow, thoughts of the future, what might happen, first, best to accept that it's normal. The mind will veer away. And just gently move it back to the body. Be focused on what's happening in the here and now. Soothe and relax this body of ours. Moving on to the back of your torsos, from the base of your neck, just move along your spinal cord, the muscles between your shoulder blade, moving on to the middle of the back and the lower back. Soothe and relax all the muscles. As you move downward to the tip of your backbone. Thank you. the second half of the body, your hip area, your legs, all the way down to the bottom of your feet. First is to connect the different muscles. Right, just to soothe and relax. As you move downward, noticing things like, what's the contact point between your body and the chair? Going where your body touches the chair, feeling soft or hard, feeling warm or cold, heavy or light. For the next few minutes, you can just focus on what's the easiest thing for you to focus on. What's the clearest thing, the parts of your body for you to focus on? It could be the rise and the fall of your chest from the breathing process. Or you know there's some tight or tense areas. You can linger on that to soothe and to release away all the tension around that body part. few more minutes before the meditation session ends. So now's the time to reflect on the experience. How does that feel to connect with your body? You soothe, relax all the different muscles in the body. Was it easy for you to maintain your focus? Or did the mind drift off to different things in your life? To the past or the future? If it didn't stay with the body, where did it go? It's not to judge yourself or give yourself a hard time, but understand yourself more clearly. What things are you attached to? What things do you obsess over? If the mind was focused and peaceful, then know that's what peace feels like. If the mind was distracted, obsessing about certain things, oh, that's interesting. I'm still thinking about this thing. Oh, okay. You understand also what your mind is up to. Going to ring the gong 3 times. When you've heard the 3rd gong, you can open your eyes and come out of the meditation. Not a good meditation session unless I have 1 snore, so this is very peaceful. Any questions or comments or? I find that a lot of people tell me that sometimes if they go to the breath too soon, it's hard to maintain your focus on the breathing process. So one way to help that is just to start with the body first. Because the body is always, you know, things happening. And we don't connect with the body enough anyway. So it's good to, you know, form a connection with the body. And then once the body is calmed or still, the breath comes up naturally anyway. Once the body becomes still, the only thing moving is the breathing process. Your chest or your abdomen or the air going through your nose. That's what you notice. Yeah. So the breathing happens naturally. Following the breath happens naturally once the body is calmed down. Yep, yeah. Yeah, yes.
Yes, thoughts and your thinking. So do you just watch it unfold and finish, and then you go back to your breathing and your body, or do you sort of try and force yourself to stop it to stop that you're thinking or what you're thinking about?
It depends. Generally, I notice the mind veers away from the body. I just go back to it, not worry about it. But if sometimes you find that it keeps going to a certain area all the time, certain event or something, then I try to watch that for a while. So, okay, when you go here, okay, where do you want to go? So just kind of stand back and watch, okay, it's interesting. Okay, you're still thinking about that event or that thing that happened early in the morning. Okay, it's interesting. Then once that, you know, stays there for a while, then you just gently move it back to the body again. Yeah, something, if the mind doesn't want to go to the body, then allow it just to watch it. Okay, I want to work through this event that happened early in the morning or early last week. Okay, we'll just stay with that for a while. Yeah, so it's a way, it's kind of a fine balance between, okay, dropping whatever the mind veers towards, back to the body, just back to the body. Okay, a lot of time, most meditation, that's what you notice. I'm going off, okay, just back to the body, back to the present moment. And after a while, it gets used to it and it stays there. But sometimes there's something that's happening, you know, some dramatic event, you have a big argument or something with your friend. So it doesn't want to go to the body, it wants to work through this event. Oh, why did that happen? Why did she say that? That's a bit weird. Yeah, okay, then let it allow that to kind of work through that a little bit. Okay, and then you kind of gently move it back. Okay. If you force it too much, there's a bit of tension. Yeah, it's quite tight. So, you know, meditation is about kind of opening up, relaxing. Yeah, and then just gentle focus.
What about pains cropping up in the body?
Yes, but pain generally is you're starting out meditation, or if you're sitting just for 15 or 20 minutes, if pain comes up, I would just trying to watch that first, focus on the pain. What's it doing? Is it really in your knee? Is it on the center of the knee, the left side, the right side? What kind of pain is it? Is it throbbing? Is it a sharp pain? Is it really hard? Is it moving around? Is it getting bigger, smaller? Is it morphing? Just study the pain first for a little bit. And then it becomes more painful than you move it. But you don't need to kind of, grit your teeth and stay there to the end of the meditation. Yeah. So you want to play with the pain a little bit and test your threshold. But you don't want it just, sitting there and bearing it for the rest of the meditation, and then it's just really unpleasant. Yeah. So just kind of experiment with it, but not just trying to endure it all the time. Because you'll notice some days you can sit longer and no pain. Other days, different things happen and you feel pain right away. Yeah, so it's not an objective thing. It varies from day to day. And as your meditation progresses and the mind has more energy, you'll find that you can stay with the pain a little bit longer. It's still painful, but not the same way. There's not this reaction, oh, this is really awful, I don't like this. Oh, I'm going to have to take some pain pill when I get up. Well, I'm going to see a doctor about this. I'm going to get my physical therapist and this and that. And the mind just starts to proliferate. You say, oh, yeah, it's just pain. That's interesting. It's just pain. Okay. Yeah. So you kind of work with it and not just kind of move right away after you feel pain, because then you're setting up a reaction as well. And you can never be still, because every time the pain comes, you shuffle your leg all the time. We always get one of those as well, shuffling away. Yeah. So that's not very peaceful either. So it's kind of mirror way of just kind of staying with it for a little bit and then moving slowly. Yeah. Yeah. You had a question? Or?
Well, I was actually going to say I do the very same thing, but with an itch. I find if I'm thinking about something that's uncomfortable for me, my physical body will be like, you've got to scratch your face, or you've got to touch your elbow. It's bizarre. And sometimes it is an itch. But if I sit with it, I figure out, okay, it's not. I'm not necessarily itchy. I'm just finding a way to try and get out of that thought that I don't want to sit with.
It is. There is a connection, you see, between the body and the mind. That's right, between the body and the mind.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And it's weird, like sometimes you sit there and the knee's really, really painful and you think, okay, when I get up, I'm definitely going to need surgery. And then you get up, you walk around and it's gone. It's like, what's going on there? Yeah, so a lot of times the mind just gets restless. It doesn't want to sit, so it will throw different things up. Yeah. And you can see it is kind of a tricky thing and it's always kind of doing weird things. But it also gives you a glimpse of how powerful it can be. That a healthy mind can literally, you know, transcend anything. Yeah, what you focus on. The pain doesn't have to be a problem. Yeah. When you're, you know, have that energy and you have that brightness.
Is that Mara playing with our mind or?
The what?
Mara.
It is Mara. Mara playing with you, you know, kind of disturbing you. Oh yeah, think about this, doing that, and then we'll give you some itch. Yeah, give you some. Because it also shows our attachment to the body. And when you were attached, then we want ways to think about it with an itch, with a pain, because it draws you back to the body. Oh, my poor body, I'm going to work with it. Yeah. So it's, you know, the attachment of the body just expresses itself in different ways. Yeah. When you're not meditating, it goes in different ways and you don't notice. But then when you meditate, you're sitting still, you find, oh my God, I'm constantly thinking about my body all the time and moving it and worrying about it and, yeah, feeling it, touching it, stroking it. Yeah. Normally, we're quite attached to this body of ours, yeah. And then it's only through meditation you see clearly, oh wow, I am really, yeah, really kind of, you know, always thinking about it or finding ways to feed it, clothe it, shower it, make it more comfortable. When the slightest pain, we don't like it, we want to escape from it, yeah. But over time, you can feel that you investigate these different things and that you can work with it in different ways. Like sometimes the itch, you just, you know, I'll sit there and watch. Yeah. At the time it is, you're like, you don't have a fly that's, you know, kind of walk on your face. Like, okay, I'm not gonna shoot away, I'm just gonna watch what it does. Yeah.
Ajahn, may I make an observation?
Sure.
It's not hard to tell that you and Ajahn Santurthy came out of the same school with the same teacher.
You always say the same thing.
No, same sense of humour.
All right. Yes. You're hearing no bad jokes, you just start telling them.
I was just thinking, yes. When I started, I think, oh, you're never going to do it. You know, you try and try. And but my advice is, don't give up. Just keep going. Don't be hard on yourself, basically. You know, just keep, even if you've got to forget it for that day and try the next day or something. But it's such a shame to give up, because when you finally do have a nice meditation and you get there, it's wonderful.
It's amazing. Best in anything in the world.
But basically, you can liken it to driving, you know. Get out sometimes, think, that's it. I'm not getting in that car again. But if you just keep going, you know.
Yeah, it's the same like riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
First thing you're like, how am I going to sort out this? I'm going to balance and do the wheel and how do I change? And after I was like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I say don't give up, because it's a shame to give up, you know.
Yes, and the benefits, 100 times better than riding a bicycle. Driving, nothing compares to, you know,
no,
a good
just,
meditation.
Yeah, because I'm just saying that would, you know, connect it to things that you feel like giving up.
And it's sometimes it's kind of mind-boggling how frustrating it can be, and you know the mind is all over the place. But you'll see it has amazing quality to also kind of become very clear very quickly. So it's not always a progression. You get slightly more peaceful, but sometimes it can be really, really peaceful. I don't know where. As long as you know, just sit, relax, you know, with no agendas, not wanting, not thinking too much, and things just come together. In a really different way. And, you know, like I said, you know, a fit body is pretty good, but a healthy mind trumps that easily. Yeah. Because everything, no matter how fit your body is, if you're 50, 60, you're not going to be stronger than you are in your 20. But if you have a healthy mind, you will feel amazing sense of peace and stillness that your 20-something, you know, mind cannot feel. Yeah. Because the mind doesn't age. Something that, you know, that's ageless. Yeah. And then as you, as the body starts to break up, it doesn't have to be a problem. You know, like Asher Brown recently gave a talk on, like, you know, aging process is the great letting go. Because obviously we think we control this body, but we don't. It starts to break down, bits and pieces start to fall off and go wrong. And you can't control that. Yeah. But with a healthy mind, happy mind, it's not a problem. You can be a great inspiration to people around you. You can age gracefully. You can be sick and not a problem. Being sick isn't a problem. It's that I don't want to be sick. That's the real problem. I don't want to get old. I don't want to have to go see the doctor every day. That's the problem. But you have a healthy mind, happy mind, a still mind. It's all a piece of cake. You know? And life can be a wonderful journey for yourself and others around you. Yeah. So, and it's just through, it's just a simple process, really, of, you know, kind of a daily practice. And we all have the ability. Nobody is not a special thing that you have to be born with or anything. Just the desire, the intention to stay consistent and persist with it. Yeah.
You don't need any special place either.
You don't need a special, you don't need a special skill, you don't need a PhD.
I mean, you don't need a special place, you can't make an excuse in anywhere to go. Just somewhere quiet, basically. That's not where it is, really, does it?
And no equipment, you don't need a special whatever. And it's everything, right? It's not just sitting with your eyes closed. When you're walking, you just be with the walking process, the muscle moving, right foot, left foot. You're driving, just sitting there, holding on to the steering wheel, being present. Yeah, that's meditation. Washing your dishes, just there washing, feeling the water in your hands, drying away, feeling the weight of the plate. That's all meditation. So no excuses. You can say, oh, I'm too busy to meditate, Ajahn. You're breathing, you're walking around, you're doing things. That's our meditation. If you are staying with what's happening physically in the present moment. Yeah. So that's something that we all can do. A few minutes a day, really. Throughout the day. Having your tea quietly, you know, by yourself. Just tasting what the tea feel like, tea tastes like. And the aging. But, you know, your surrounding, the different sights and sounds, the birds are making, the smell, the leaves in the air, yeah, anything that's here now. Because so much of our mental space is somewhere else, and that's what tires the mind. Yeah, it's not resting, it's moving around, obsessing, worrying about what might happen, might not happen, or feeling remorse and guilt about what happened already that you can't change anyway. Yeah, so we've been meditation, a bit of peace. You can accept the mistakes we made, we own to it. Okay, yeah, at that time I made that mistake based on the amount of greed and anger that I had in my mind. That's okay. In the future, I'm going to intend to be more skillful, to not act out of greed, not act out of anger. I'm going to wait before I say something when I'm angry. And you'll find that, yeah, the mind has space to start to process these things. And that you're getting better and better at navigating the challenges that comes up from time to time. Because life is full of stress and worries and disappointment from time to time. But it doesn't have to be the defining thing in your life. We can learn from disappointments. We can learn from obstacles. We can learn from mistakes. And be a more gentle, kinder person. And that's something that's within each and every one of us, really. Can't be perfect, but you can incline towards perfection.
But also, if you've got a problem, I think that's the best thing to do is meditate, because it makes it, it lifts it, doesn't it?
Lifts it, allows you to kind of be with it and don't kind of, you know, untie the knot. Because sometimes we get angry, we become more tight and tense, and then we make more of a problem. But you can, you know, just be with it and say, okay, yeah, this will happen. I wonder what, and my answer is, it's a lesson here somewhere. Instead of approaching, oh, I did this again, or it's my fault, I'm a terrible person. Okay, this happened. What can I learn from this? If you made a mistake, you hurt somebody, mustn't learn, okay, now I know what it feels like to have this done to you. I'm not going to do that to other people. You experience somebody being mean to you, like this is what happened when someone yells at you. Okay, well, in the future, if I'm in their shoes, I'm going to be more gentle when I give criticism, I give feedback. Yeah. So whatever we find ourselves, especially in unpleasant situation, there's something to be learned there, something to grow from. And something that we can also can share that when we've grown from that to other people around us. And peace and stillness is a wonderful antidote to so much about busy world and confusion and the doubts that comes up. So slowing down never hurt. It allows you to process more things. So we're all rushing. Wait, we're rushing to. Rushing to the little box, wooden box on the ground anyway. So we end up. But we do live in a world that's very exciting. Lots of things to do, lots of experiences to be had, and it's true. But remember, is that going to bring you more peace and stillness? Or is this, oh yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, that's it. Lots of interesting things. Well, you have to choose between interesting and peace. After a while, you get better. Yeah, okay, I'll just have peace. Well, you have to choose between being right and being still. Choose being still. Somebody else can be right. Being right all the time is very tiring. You always have to tell everybody, I'm right, remember this? Just be still. Other people can be right.
Thank you. Very interesting.
No, it's good. My pleasure to be here sharing, you know, what I've learned over the years. Share my time with Ajahn Santuti. It's been a great help, helping me build the monastery in Wat Buddhadhamma. Yeah, it's a great builder then. Hopefully, he can build a community here over time. That would be great. Yeah, yeah. We're very close to the city.
We're getting more people, you know, as time goes on.
Right, yeah. Do we do the Sharana Merit? Okay. As we chant this, we radiate all the goodness, the good energy that we've collected and we've cultivated in the last half an hour, and we just beam it all over Camp Scott, the whole world, different rounds, all our loved ones.
So that means we've got to chant it really loudly.
That's right, yeah. Belt it out.
So everybody can hear it.
And you will have hundreds of people.
That's right. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life, may they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble goal, the Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay. Thank you, Ajahn.
Thank you
for coming. Have a safe drive home.